Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants. It's always a pleasure, a privilege to fill in for Rants as he, wherever he is now. Is that Vegas, Peyton? Vegas?
Yeah, I think.
I don't know what Rants is.
He doesn't tell me a lot. He just sits in his office and, you know, when he sees
me. He doesn't interact with you?
He hits me on the head, but, you know, that's about it.
Is it, Is he hitting you with a stack of papers? Is it like
what papers, baseball bats?
Baseball,
you know, you
bats.
Name it.
Okay. Well, you know, which one hurts more?
The paper.
The paper, of course.
I'm used to naturally. The baseball bat.
Naturally. Okay. Well, wherever Jason Rants is today, I'm filling in for him. Enjoy filling in for Rants. Get to spend time with you, and the hours just. They really do. I know it's cliche to say they fly by, but they really do. They fly by, and first time working with Peyton, I felt a little badly, just to let you in on this. The show starts at 3, and generally I like to get to the studio anywhere between 1 and 1:30, right? You know, especially as a new guy working with, we want to develop a rhythm, see what works, what doesn't, bounce around stories. But I had an appointment today. It involved my wife, and I had to take her somewhere. And I made it to the studio around 2:30, 2:40. And we just are like, hey, man, what's up? Talk about some of the stories. And then, boom, right into the studio. And we made it work. I mean, that first hour sounded fine, Peyton.
Yeah, life comes at you fast. Yeah, and if you're not ready, you know, got to be ready.
Got to be ready. So, it's, you know, ready. Always got to be ready. All right, we are going to get to What's Trending.
What's Trending. In Seattle.
Of course, in Seattle. We got to start out what's happening in Seattle. So, as though we aren't taxed enough already, Jenny Durkin has signed into law a tax on home heating oil. Most people here in Seattle don't get their heat through a home heating oil system. But 18,000 Seattle households still do. So that's a sizable number. Currently, heating oil costs about $3 per gallon, says the Seattle Times. And Jenny Durkin wants to add a tax of 24 cents per gallon used, starting in 2020, and wants to raise, they say, $1.6 million. She proposed this last month, and the city council, of course, unanimously voted to pass it. Oh, there's another tax. Boom, bring it on. It's against Big Bad Oil. Boom, bring it on. Let's do it. Durkin, of course, linked the measure to climate change, referencing the global climate strike. That was when all the young people, like all these young morons are leaving school. They're going to go on strike. Oh, I kind of wish that these climate strikes were happening when I was in high school. I would have loved the excuse. Sorry, teacher, I'm going to skip class today because, oh, the planet's going to die in 11 years and we need to protest. None of that was happening. And now the teachers encourage it. Oh, you're going to skip. Oh, yeah, I'm going to skip class. Me, of course, I wouldn't go to the climate. I'd go, you know, hang beach or something, hang out with my friends. I'll see you at the climate strike. I'll see you there. I'll be there. Bah, out. Now it's encouraged to strike when you're a young person. So Durkin is saying, oh, you know what? We're motivated. We're motivated by serving the next generation, serving our climate, serving our economy. So we're going to tax home heating oil. She says we're in a fight for our climate. We've got to be tackling every source. We know our greenhouse gas emissions come mostly from transportation and buildings, so we've got to tackle those. Jenny Durkin, do you ride a bicycle to work? Huh? Does your protective unit ride bicycles around you? Is it like I have for my kids, a radio flyer? I stick them in there and I pull them around the neighborhood? Is that how you get to work? One of your protective detail members is pulling you in a radio flyer? Because I guarantee you, you're using fossil fuels to get to work. Yeah. But it's amazing. As though this is the moral posturing, bringing this to a moral issue. as though a tax. Think of how insane this is. If you just break it down logically, I know we're speaking of logic and consistency here, and these are, you know, it's hard to have a debate with lefties using these ratios. But a 24 cents per gallon tax on home heating oil, is that going to affect global temperatures one iota? No. This is not about affecting any type of temperature. It is the mark of a lunatic to say that legislation in a specific location is going to affect the climate in any meaningful way. It is not. And they know this. It is a power grab, one power grab after another, to force you into their vision of how the world should operate. We're going to remove your options. We're going to remove the options, the choices from your life in the name of whatever the issue du jour is. In this case, climate change. Getting their motivation from that 16-year-old from Sweden, or wherever the hell she's from. Is it Sweden, Switzerland? I forget. The one who has, like, anorexia. They're speaking in front of the UN and, I'm depressed. Why go to school? Everything's going to be over. Anywho, as is the case with leftist policies, the individuals they intend, they tell us they are helping, they're actually harming. So Debbie Millard, she was profiled in the Seattle Times. She's a president of Ballard Oil. So the city should have consulted providers like hers about the tax. Many residents who still use heating oil are older people with modest incomes on a fixed revenue to boot. Fixed revenue. Jenny Durkin says, oh, it's okay. The new revenue will be spent on grants and rebates to help residents move to electric heat. Listen to this. Or worker training and other support to help oil providers learn alternative systems or on reimbursements for low-income households and on outreach administration. Outreach administration. We're going to tax you for outreach. What the hell is that? Outreach administration. More bureaucracy. So Jenny Durkin and her administration is admitting, oh, yes, prices are going to go up for you. People, older people on fixed incomes, retired. But don't worry, because we're using those grants. We're going to use that money on grants and rebates and to you to help you transition for electric heat pump systems or give you a credit for a few hundred bucks a year. That's what she's saying. So we'll tax you, right? The price of heating your home is going to go up, but we'll give you a rebate. We'll give you a rebate. Oh, thank you. By the way, to install a heat pump system is typically between $10,000 and $15,000. It's not cheap. Not cheap at all. Sometimes, depending on the size of your house, the number of rooms you have these units in, it's not cheap. $10,000 to $15,000, conservative estimate. But Jenny Durkin doesn't care. She's flush with cash. She's flush with your cash. And they're going to continue to propose policies in the name of fighting the climate that not only don't fight, I mean, it has nothing to do with the climate. It's not going to affect temperature one bit. It's not going to affect hurricanes one bit. It's not going to affect rain one bit. It's not going to affect tornadoes, snowfall, none of that. One bit. But we're going to do it in the name of fighting the climate. Oh, and by the way, yes, it's going to be expensive for you. The prices are going to go up for you, but we'll send you a rebate. So we're going to take your money, and then because we're generous public servants, we'll give you some of that money back in the form of a rebate. Amazing. The next big push, Mike O'Brien, is he District 6? He's not running for re-election, thank God. He's trying to ban natural gas hookups for new construction in Seattle. So let's even reduce further the sources of cheap energy. Do you notice that? It's all the energy they're opposed to is cheap. It is cheap forms of energy. That means there is more money in the pockets. Now, let's forget the Prius, right? Only the rich white liberals are buying these electric vehicles and outfitting their house with heat pumps everywhere because it costs money. For others who are not in that category, guess what? They like the cheap energy because it means more disposable income in their pockets. It means they have more freedom to spend time with their family, go on vacation, save for their future. The entire agenda of the left is anti-family at its core on a variety of ways. But certainly in making sure you have the least amount of disposable income in your pocket and the least number of choices when it comes to energy to get around and modes of transportation. Yeah, the issue is a moral one, but it's how morally bankrupt the left is in their totalitarian pursuits of complete energy and economic control over our life. We got more to get to with me, Jason Matera. Jason Matera back with you. If you want to get on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, the number is 465-8770. That's 465-8770. I saw this. Speaking of taxes. Speaking of taxes, I had to take a drink of water there. This came across my desk from CNS News. Stunning report. Americans spent more on taxes in 2018 than on food, clothing, and healthcare combined. Americans spent more on taxes in 2018 than on food, clothing, and healthcare combined. The report goes on to state that basically in 2018, the average amount spent on taxes by a household was more than $18,000. The American average American consumer household, the average American consumer, though, was paying when it comes to their food, healthcare, and other apparel and services, just under $15,000. So there's like a $3,000 gap between your taxes and the other essentials in life, food, clothing, and healthcare combined. The left is always telling us, I know we talk about numbers and math, and it's something, it's not recommended on radio because people can tune out, but look, this is important because we constantly hear from progressives of how we got to solve affordability crises, right? We hear it all the time here. There's, housing affordability. We need affordable housing. And while the same people are telling us we need affordable housing, then we need to make cities like Seattle more affordable to live in, what are they doing? They're jacking up taxes on the middle class. Property taxes continue to soar higher and higher, which is a barrier for people to enter the housing market. Because even if they can afford to buy a home, they may not be able to afford to pay the astronomical taxes. When you make life more, the minimum wage, it is now unaffordable for restaurant owners to hire labor because of razor thin margins to begin with. Oh, but what? Economics, who cares about that? We're just going to add, you know, this is basically a tax on labor, a tax on employment. And what happens? You have restaurants that are closing down. You have waiters and waitresses whose hours have been shortened and condensed. Others in the fast food industry as well. It's amazing. We spend more on taxes. See, in the, and I wish conservatives, because the conservatives don't do a very thorough job and sometimes do a poor job, to be honest with you, in conveying the message of private property and making the moral case for budgets and the moral case against taxation. Really, we should be taxed for the basic necessities of life. And that's the government is around, stated in the Constitution, and local ordinances that basically the government's around to ensure a civil society, ensure the free flow of individuals, and they can participate in voluntary associations and not be bullied or harassed or thwarted in any serious way. And you pay taxes to maintain that. It's not happening here at all. But currently, the left doesn't view any, they don't have any limiting principle when it comes to how much they can tax you. So now we pay more in taxes than we do on food, clothing, and healthcare combined. It should be the exact opposite. We're paying more on ourselves for healthcare and for clothing and for food than on taxes. And by the way, healthcare is so expensive. Another one. You can make the moral case for free markets. If people were allowed to pick and choose their own programs without having defined benefits packages from the federal government, here it dictates from the federal government that says your policy must include, and then they rattle off a list of benefits in the specific policy. Drug counseling, even if you're not a drug addict. Mental health counseling, even if you don't have a mental health. All these different things. You're paying for services you're never going to use. And if, by the way, if you want to use those services, fine. Nothing against it. You can pay for it, though. At some point, conservatives need to start making the moral case for free markets and voluntary association instead of just sitting back. By the way, I'm looking. Did I ever do the What's Trending marker?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I forgot
That's
it.
That's all right.
All right, let's do it now.
What's trending? Let's get political.
All right, let's get political. That was Seattle and Jenny Durkin. All right. Let's do the next What's Trending marker.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
Can't make this up. That was Americans spend more on taxes than on food, clothing, and healthcare combined. So if Rance asked.
Now we're caught up.
Now we're caught up. We hit it. We hit the mark. I'm looking at my screen and I just realized, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
All right. That's all right. Those aren't that important.
We're going to do it correctly now. All right. We're going to continue with What's Trending.
What's Trending on the campaign trail.
On the campaign trail. Pete Buttigieg. It's getting interesting now. Bernie Sanders. Wish him a speedy recovery. He's most likely going to drop out. I mean, the guy had clogged arteries. He has stents put in. I mean, he's canceling events until further notice. I don't know how he's going to remain in the race. He's 78 years old. Your health has to come first, right? So there is an opening for people like Beto O'Rourke and Buttigieg and certainly Elizabeth Warren to pull from Bernie. Although Elizabeth Warren seems to be the natural funnel from Bernie supporters to her. But Buttigieg is saying that he is opposing, that he's coming out against the death penalty for terrorists. For terrorists. Pete Buttigieg, this is, I think, from our friends over at Breitbart, said he opposes the death penalty for prisoners, even if that prisoner happens to be none other than Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is the accused mastermind of the September 11th attacks. He specifically asked about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's scheduled to face trial in Guantanamo Bay from a military tribunal January 11th. I don't know why it's taken so long to try this guy. I have no idea. The guy should have been 6 feet under by now. 6 feet under. He's still alive. Nearly 3,000 counts of murder. And Buttigieg is asked like this about this guy. Of course. You know what I'm saying? Any rational person says, oh, generally, me, even if you're against the death penalty. Maybe I'm, you know, I may be against the death penalty, but my God, for that SOB, yes. Nail him to a cross. But Buttigieg says, no, in an interview with The Hill, he goes, you know, if you mean you're against the death penalty, there are people who may deserve to die. I just don't know anybody who deserves to kill them. Peyton, I could be wrong. But I think a lot of people would line up if they had the opportunity to take Khalid Sheikh Mohammed out.
Yeah, I'd say you're right in that stance.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would line up to take him out. In fact, that is the duty of government. Not only does it serve a deterrent, but if you shed innocent life, 3,000 innocent lives in this case, you should not be breathing. But Buttigieg says, you can't be killing defenseless people. can't be killing these defenseless terrorists. I know they're in Guantanamo Bay. You can't be killing them. It's amazing. And, he tries to posture himself like he's a Christian or something, like he's giving moral commandments from on high. He's read in his Bible. And it's just a fascinating take out of all. It reminds me. Oh, who was it? It's going to come to me. But liberals are, they're always asked scenarios about the death penalty or they're given extreme examples like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Or you can take Bernie Sanders when we're talking about like a felon. Should they be allowed to vote? And should they be allowed to vote from prison? Like the Boston bomber, let's say. And Bernie goes ahead and agrees. Oh, well, yeah, you can't take her out. You can't disenfranchise people, even though they've committed horrible acts. No, you can't disenfranchise. Can't disenfranchise Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Even though he's mastermind of the biggest terrorist attack on American soil. No, you can't. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know why Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is still breathing. The guy does not deserve to still be breathing. That's, my humble opinion. Okay, coming up, we have the Joker director slamming woke culture. Says it's why he stopped making comedies. We'll also try to get to the latest of the Jussie Smollett case. Yeah, there's some updates. Or as Dave Chappelle calls him, Juicy Smollett. Speaking of cancel culture and Dave Chappelle, oh, that's another topic. We have so much to get to. Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rantz. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rantz. I meant to bring this up earlier, and I forgot. But so Jenny Durkin is proposing, signed into law, a tax on home heating oil because to combat climate change, of course. So it's just making home heating oil more expensive, and it's going to do diddly squat to change the direction of the climate. And only a egomaniac, completely uninformed and ignorant to the core, would ever think a tax would alter global climate temperatures. But, it's the virtue signaling and the moral posturing, not the actual results. But here's the thing. As we know, and as sometimes the left lets slip out, sometimes, it's not about affecting global temperatures because it is preposterous to ever propose that. It's about reorienting the American economy. The left hates capitalism. They hate private property. They hate the idea of a limited government, a government limited in scope. They hate free markets. And we can point to areas where the market is largely not free, but in compared to the rest of the world, we have a free market. And they hate it because there is a decentralization of power. And the left is all about what? The centralization of power. So they'll look for different schemes to use as props or to use as funnels to get what they want. And one is climate. It used to be global cooling, then it was global warming, now it's climate change. Because you win on both areas. It's too hot, climate change. It's too cold in the winter, climate change. They win on both ways. But every so often, there's honesty about the actual motives, about the centralization of power as the goal to, as the aim for fighting climate change, or using the fight for climate change as the avenue of the centralization of power. There's a novelist named Jonathan Franzen, and recently he wrote a column in the New Yorker, eye-opening for its brazen, unadulterated truth on the left's agenda. Why don't you listen carefully? He says every one of the world's major polluting countries must institute draconian conservation measures, shut down much of its energy transportation infrastructure, and completely retool its economy. Human beings, including millions of government-hating Americans, I guess that's us, need to accept high taxes and severe curtailment of their familiar lifestyles without revolting. They must accept the reality of climate change and have faith in the extreme measures taken to combat it. Oh, I guess here's what faith is acceptable. Faith in God? No, I can't do that. It's superstition. Faith in the measures governments are taking to fight climate change. That's the type of faith we can get behind. Jonathan Frazen continues, every day, instead of thinking about breakfast, we have to think about death. Oh, sounds like a peach to be around. Sounds like exactly the type of guy I want to go have an adult beverage with. Hopefully this guy isn't a father. Can you imagine? Hey, kids, we're not going to talk about breakfast. I'm not going to make you scrambled eggs today because we're going to think about death, the impending death. But what struck me is the honesty behind. I mean, this is everything conservatives have been saying for many years, that this is nothing but a charade, climate change, in order to aggregate power in the hands of government bureaucrats or the hands of the anointed ones, the elites of society, and they will have the power to disseminate change and tell us how we need to live our lives. Now, you can't just take power from people without having a just cause behind it. And the just cause has, in this instance, has been climate change. Every one of the world's major polluting countries must institute draconian conservation measures, shut down much of its energy transportation infrastructure, and completely retool its economy. Human beings, including millions of government-hating Americans, need to accept high taxes and severe curtailment of their familiar lifestyles without revolting. Can't revolt, guys. Can't revolt. By the way, which is why there's such a push, speaking about curtailment, such a push to disarm Americans. See, this is this nutbag's vision of a world where you can't revolt. A world where we're going to take extreme measures, he, in his own words, to combat climate change, extreme measures to retool the economy. We need to accept high taxes and severe curtailment of our familiar lifestyles. And we can't revolt. We just gotta bend down and take it in the shorts and have a smile on our face. No revolting. This is the exact reason, by the way, the framers made clear the rights of the people should not be infringed to keep and bear arms. Why? Because there are always totalitarian thugs like this guy, Jonathan Frazen, who are out there, who have a hunger, a lust for power. And people, when people like that get into power, it can be a scary thing, as the 20th century has shown us, where individuals think they're on a moral mandate to usher in this new utopian, this new vision, and that utopian and that vision even has to override the people's will. Sometimes, many times, override it by force. And that's why there's such a big push to disarm Americans, because you can't have the revolt. But I wanted to highlight this, because I just reminded, but usually you never get the left to says it that clearly, and it's about retooling and reorienting by extreme measures the American economy, the American way of life. But this guy, and very few people, to be honest, read the New Yorker. I know. When I was in D.C., you'd go to people's homes, and they'd have the New Yorker on their coffee table, and there's like these 7,000-word essays that nobody reads. I doubt even their editors read it. Nobody really cares, but it's supposed to be like a status. Oh, you read the New Yorker? Oh, you must be smart. Every time I saw a New Yorker on somebody's coffee table, I said that right there is a moron. Someone who thinks they're, those are the people who legitimately are not smart. They think they're smart. They think they're part of the intelligentsia, and they have zero common sense. They have zero idea on how to actually live with responsibility. Zero. And yet they think that they can tell everyone else what to do. It's like the old, it was a Bill Buckley, I think, who said it. That he would rather trust the first 100 names he found in the phone book than a liberal politician. I'm probably paraphrasing, but it's true. These phony intellectuals who think that they can... Okay, I got to get to this, but if I start now, I'm not going to have any time. So, Jussie Smollett is back in the news. There was a phony hate crime involving a sixth grader. It took place in Virginia and somehow was tied back to Jussie Smollett. Or Jussie Smollett, as Dave Chappelle said in his recent brilliant Netflix special. I'm going to get to that when we return. Jason Matera here, back with you, guest hosting for Jason Rants. Got Phil and Jason today and tomorrow. So if you like what you heard today, definitely tune in here from 3 to 6. All right, I need to get to this Jussie Smollett addition, this new, well, he injected himself into something. But just across the wire, just across my desk, today the New York Times had a story that reported how the whistleblower, they call this guy the whistleblower, the CIA source, right? It's not I hate to even use the term whistleblower. How can you be a whistleblower if all your information is second and third hand? That's hearsay, right? Oh, but we're going to call me here. We're going to whistleblower. It's all hearsay. But for the argument's sake, just, I'm going to whistleblower. That's what the New York Times is saying. This whistleblower told the House Intelligence Committee days before he filed the complaint about what he was going to file. So he approached the committee. This is Adam Schiff's committee. Guy couldn't be any more partisan. He's a hack. The CIA informant approached him. Then afterward, filed a complaint. Well, why is this news? This is news is because Adam Schiff said specifically on MSNBC that neither he nor his committee has spoken with the whistleblower before the complaint was filed. Well, that turns out to be a flat out lie, because the whistleblower, really this deep state irritant and hearsay specialist, approached Adam Schiff's committee. So he's caught in a lie. He got called on it by a reporter for the Huffington Post, so no, you know, friendly conservative outlet. Well, friendly for him. And said, hey, you know, you told us one thing. You said that on MSNBC that no one has spoken to the whistleblower, but that actually didn't happen. So what gives? The committee responded, the chairman, meaning Adam Schiff, could have been more clear. He was referring to the committee actually interviewing the whistleblower and not himself personally. But that's not what he said. He said, no one in my office, me or my staff, has spoken to the whistleblower beforehand. Now it's starting to look like, ooh, can I dare say collusion? Oh, coordination? More of this is going to, once we find out, we'll eventually find out who this person is. And they're going to have like Bernie Bro underwear. They're going to be some radical at the CIA with Bernie Bro underwear. It's going to be one of those. Jussie Smollett. You thought you heard the last of him. Well, he's engaged in a civil lawsuit now. Chicago is actually trying to recoup the amount of money spent, $130,000, I think it was, on this phony hate crime case. He wanted to, if you talk, it's hard to get bipartisanship today. But we have bipartisanship where you had people like Donald Trump and Rahm Emanuel agreeing that Jussie Smollett is a hoaxer, is a liar. That's hard to do, to get Rahm Emanuel and Donald Trump to agree on anything. But they agreed that Jussie Smollett was a fraud. Recently, there was big news in Virginia. Here's where the Smollett case comes in. A Virginia sixth grader accused three white boys, like white kids, other white sixth graders, of holding her down, calling her nasty names, and cutting her dreadlocks. This happened to be a school that Mike Pence's wife, Karen, works at part-time, so they, of course, the media roped that into it. Oh, Karen Pence's school. There's hate crimes going on with sixth graders. Look at Donald Trump's America. Well, it turned out the whole thing was bogus. There were security cameras in the playground, and the students accused of this, what would have been a hate crime, I guess, for, I mean, they're sixth graders, but whatever. I mean, this heinous act turned out to be wrong. This girl, for whatever reason, made the whole thing up. This is Donald Trump's America, by the way, where racism is at its peak. It's at its zenith. That's why we have to make up hate crimes. We have to make up racial incidences because racism is everywhere. We got to make this stuff up. Donald Trump's America. So this woman's grandparents, this girl, young girl's grandparents eventually apologized. She apologized. Okay, she's in sixth grade. Cut her, whatever. I'm willing to cut her some slack. There's a self-help social media guru. His name is Derek Jackson. He posted the story on his Instagram page of this Virginia hoax and had this caption: "Jussie really is a trendsetter," and he tagged Jussie Smollett. Now, Jussie should have just ignored it, right? If that were him, I'd just, you know, ignore it. Who is this guy? Self-help, social media guru, whatever. Yeah. You know. Instead, Jussie responds publicly, and he's holding to his original story, saying, "With all due respect, brother, y'all can clown me all you want, but my story has actually never changed, and I haven't lied about a thing." No, you haven't, Jussie. You haven't lied about a thing. He continued. "Y'all can continue to be misinformed, internalized sheep who believe what actual proven liars feed you or can read the actual docs. Either way, I'ma be all right. I'm going to be all right." But Peyton, is this how you, is this like the hipster way, the millennial way of saying "I'm going to be"? I'ma, I-M-M-A?
Yeah, it's a slang term.
"Either way, I'ma be all right. I know me and what happened. You don't, so carry on. All love." Now, this is anyone out there who believes Jussie. Jussie doesn't even believe Jussie. "I'ma be all right, you internalized sheep." Of course, Jussie is the proven... That's right, the MAGA guys, the white MAGA guys, knew who Jussie... I didn't even know who Jussie Smollett was. I've never watched Empire. I heard it's decent. I don't know who he was. But apparently these MAGA racists did in Chicago, below zero, putting a noose around his neck and dousing him with bleach. Nobody... Again, bipartisan agreement that Jussie Smollett is a liar and a fraud. This sixth grader, by the way, seems like a better actor than he was. I'll see you tomorrow. Jason Matera filling in for Jason Rance.